Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org. And it'd be nice to hear from some of the listeners out there. If you're benefiting from these Bible studies at all, I'd like to hear from you. If you think I'm wrong on something, well, then, and you're right, and then I absolutely need to hear from you, because I don't want to be out here teaching error. I'm more accountable because I am in this ministry and sharing my insight with whoever will listen out there, whoever the Heavenly Father draws. And I certainly don't want to be teaching anything that's not correct according to His Word, according to, well, I'm using the Authorized King James Version and the Textus Receptus, which is the original Greek and Hebrew. And if you go to e-sword.net, you can download the Bible program there and follow along as we go through the scripture. Each word has a number so that you can go to the definition of the word. And definitions are very important in law. And this is like the greatest law document. I mean, this is the law and the case law for the laws of the Heavenly Father's kingdom, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. We have here a law book, and the rest of the book is fairly case law so that we can understand His word and His law. It defines itself, so it's just wonderful to have this tool, and I am very grateful for it. And you should be using it too, everyone who is interested in the Word of God and loves the Word of God and wants to please our Heavenly Father and be part of His holy nation, part of the kingdom of heaven, should have this tool. And if you can't, if for some reason you gotta work 12 hours a day and you're too tired, your eyes are just too heavy, well, it just says, if you're able to listen, then listen and check me out whenever you get a chance to make sure that what I'm telling you is true. You know, research these things for yourself, and the tool makes it fairly easy. Spend a few hours with it, and if you're computer savvy at all, if you can email, you can probably do it. Just spend a few hours in the program, and you'll learn how it works. It's fairly simple. Okay, we're talking about the words that come out of our mouth, the necessity of judging every word that comes out of our own mouths. That's more important than judging the words that comes out of other people's mouth, is first to judge our own, and then also to judge other people's, the words that come out of other people's mouth, not to condemn them, and not even to correct them, but to examine ourselves and to examine our own words to see if we're doing the same things that we might judge others unfavorably in. And a lot of times we'll find that if someone is saying things that we don't like, that rub us the wrong way, that make us react emotionally negatively, a lot of times if we examine ourselves, we'll find those things in ourselves. And that's the way the Heavenly Father and His Holy Spirit points it out to us, because we're not seeing it in ourselves. So He'll bring someone along who's doing that thing, and it'll be glaring in them. So we need to examine ourselves. And like the Master says, you know, first pull the log out of your own eye. Then you'll see clearly. And you may see clearly that perhaps it would be unwise to even constructively criticize your brother, because you'd be casting your pearls before swine, or that which is holy before dogs. But you might not be able to see that until you get the log out of your own eye. And so this kind of dovetails with his teaching from the Sermon on the Mount there. Generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. So you can judge someone by the words that come out of their mouth, because what comes out of their mouth is in their heart. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And a lot of people, you know, they might think, because I say the right things, but the words have to be true, because the judge knows whether they're true or not. So it isn't just how the words sound, it's whether they're true or not. Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. And here the master has been going around, you know, performing miracles, and his fame was spread about all the land. They even tempted him by drawing him, waiting for him, making sure there was someone there he could heal who had a bona fide, deformity or infirmity, and which he did. He healed the man with the withered hand so that they could accuse him. And certain scribes, Pharisees said to him, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Hey, show us a sign. Put on a show for us. Basically, that's what they're saying, is put on a show for us, Jesus. We came here to see a show. We came here to see some miracles. And he said to them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Whoa. Ugh. That's a terrible thing to say, because he's calling right to their faces, evil, wicked generation. He's telling them that they're evil and wicked. Just how offensive is that? But you know, Yahshua, he did offend a lot of people. There's no doubt about that. And he continues here. Well, let's continue with the narrative here. He said, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days in the nights, 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And the men in Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. He's speaking specifically to this generation. He's speaking specifically to the scribes, the Pharisees, and the hypocrites, to those that are just seeking after a sign, rather than seeking after the Messiah, rather than seeking the kingdom of heaven, rather than seeking to be a part of his holy nation. They're seeking after a sign. There are a lot of people out there like that today. You run into them, and they get all built up by the tickling words of these preachers, which tickle itching ears, and they're constantly looking for a sign, some of them innocently, and because they have no good preaching out there. They have no good teaching. They have not taught to enter into the kingdom of heaven, to be part of his holy nation. They're taught that they're going to go to heaven when they die. So they're seeking after a sign for assurance. If I get a sign, then assuredly, then I can be assured. So they're constantly looking for healing in their lives, and they don't get it. They're seeking after a sign, but none is given to them. They're seeking for this man or that one to get healed, and they're looking for miracles. They want to see something. They're looking for assurance because they haven't entered into the kingdom of heaven yet. Because they're preachers, pastors and teachers, the hypocrites, they lead them up to the kingdom, but they don't suffer them to enter because they don't go in themselves. So they're seeking after a sign. Be careful if you're seeking after signs, because none may be given. So he says, he's speaking now specifically, Jonah was 3 days, three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Noah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. So he's telling them, those Gentiles, those men of other nations, you know, those heathen repented, and they're going to judge you. They're going to stand in judgment, and they're going to condemn you, the men of Nineveh, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. I'm here. I am the second Adam. I am the Son of God. I am Yahuwah, the Lord of the Sabbath. You know, if you go through the Old Testament, he called himself the Lord of the Sabbath. He comes here and he proclaims it. I am that I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Over and over, he told them who he was. A greater than Jonah is here. The Queen of the South. See, now he's pointing to, he's sticking it in and he's twisting it. He's really ripping at him because we are the sons of Abraham. But flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. They didn't get it. He's telling them, yes, the queen of the south, Nineveh, they're going to rise. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest, and findeth none. Our master continues. Then he saith, I will return to my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty and swept and garnished. And he goeth, and he taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. He's there. He's cleaning house. And he's telling national Israel, your latter estate is going to be worse than your first. That's what he's telling. There's a lesson here for all of us too. You know, you go to the evangelist crusade, or you go to these great evangelisms, or you go to some evangelical church, and they work you all up. They get you to throw off, convicted of sin, and you pray the sinner's prayer, but they don't follow through. They don't keep the house clean. They just clean the house. They don't keep it clean, because they don't allow you to enter into the kingdom of heaven. They tell you you're going to go in when you die. And then they teach you how to continually break God's word and his commandments. Because they tell you the commandments were nailed to the cross. Oh yeah, you won't murder. Oh yeah, you won't commit adultery. But there's 100 other sins, more subtle, that you will allow. And hell, even the churches now today, they teach that homosexuality is okay. And they have to. Because that's the policy of their master. Yeah, they have two masters, a house divided. Which way is it going to fall? It's either going to fall to one master or the other, and some of them are falling over to Beelzebub. They're falling over the doctrine of the state, the Antichrist state, and they're saying homosexuality is okay. That's right, ordaining homosexuals. And you see them falling one way or the other. They're going to fall. That's right. And the state is going to start to steal their properties if they fall towards righteousness, and they're going to be persecuted and hounded from house to house. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. Amen. Amen. Let it be. That's right. Let it be. Let it come. Then we'll know who is who. So you clean the house, you better continue in repentance. You better keep your hand on the plow. Don't turn back, because more vile demons will come in than there were before, and we're seeing it happen. Even so shall it be unto this wicked generation. In chapter 12 and verse 46, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. It's a common thing. You know, you're a prophet. And your mother and father might come and want to speak with you. But he uses it as an occasion. This is his mother and his brethren. Yes, this was Miriam. Miriam, yes, the Hebrew young woman. Now a full-grown woman, a more mature woman. with other children, brothers, there with her, desiring to speak with him. And they stood without. They were without the crowd because, you know, there's a throng about Yahshua. Everybody's pressing in, trying to get close to hear the words of this great teacher, this man who obviously has the power of God, is healing men and healing everyone of their diseases. So you could imagine the throng. So they're without, they're trying to get press in to speak with him. And one of them said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with you. So he uses as an occasion to object, to make an object lesson. And he says unto the him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. What he's saying, these are my family. This is the family of God. He's drawing an illustration. He's not really excluding his mother and brethren, but he's saying that there's something stronger than blood ties. That's the illustration he's drawing. And he, listen to what he says. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. He's saying, what, to draw the contrast here, he's saying, yeah, that's my blood mother and brethren out there. And yes, they could be part of this kingdom, but not necessarily. Because if they're not doing the will of my Father, which is in heaven, then they're not my mother and my father. I mean, my mother and my brother and my sister. That's what he's saying. He doesn't use the word father. Sorry, that's a slip. Because the Father, of course, is the Father in heaven. So, because even Joseph, it would be referred to as his brother. Because really, our Father on earth, if we're both in the kingdom and part of that holy nation, truly in his kingdom, we are brothers. Even though he's our earthly father. So he says, and you know, he's going to have blood relatives that are blood, you know, of his brethren out there, and of his mother. You know, I don't know if Mary had any more children after that, or whether she got married again. I don't think that she did. I believe that she just had the one husband, although it would have been lawful for her as a widow to be married to another husband, but I don't believe that she ever did. So she was a widow indeed, to use a phrase from our King James Version of the writings of Paul. She was a widow indeed. But his brothers would have had children, and they would have been blood relatives. But if they do not the will of the Father which is in heaven, they would not be part of his kingdom. They would not be part of the holy nation, of which we are all brothers and sisters. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. So while he was not excluding them, he was telling them that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Only those who do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my family. That's what he's saying. The same is the part of that holy family, that holy nation, that holy ethnos that goes beyond race, that goes beyond blood ties. Chapter 13 and verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitude were gathered unto him, so that he went onto a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Now basically, he got on a stage, because he needed to get up high where everyone could see him, and his voice could carry. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some of the seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Yes, Heavenly Father, let us have ears to hear your words. Give us ears to understand. The words have meanings, yes. We can get out a dictionary and we can look up the definition of each word and not understand what they mean. We need ears to hear, Father. Give us your ears. Give us ears to hear what you're saying. You know, and the disciples came. In verse 10, we have it recorded here. And they said to him, Why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and he said to the disciples, this is kind of a private conversation. They're drawn in close. Why are you speaking to them in parables? You know, I think that the disciples weren't understanding very much either of what he was saying. And, you know, many of us know these words and we know, we have somewhat an idea of what they mean. But could you imagine hearing these words for the first time? They'd never been recorded. Can you imagine going, what? What is this he's talking about? The sower went out to sow. So that it said to him, why do you speak unto them in parables? And he answered, he said, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Wow, what a profound statement. The crowd is not given to them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is given. He says, for whoever hath, to him shall be given, and to he shall have more abundance. But to whomsoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Well, that's another parable, isn't it? Because it's not an explicit statement that you can understand without some discernment. The kingdom of heaven, it's a mystery. There are some mysteries in the scripture. We have mystery Babylon. We have the mystery of iniquity. And we have the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. We need to understand these mysteries. And he gives us the answer in his word to all of these mysteries. I've revealed and shared some of them to you, with you, on this program. But stay with me. Next time, we're going to talk about the mystery of the kingdom of heaven.